This is The Beat, a podcast series that keeps you in the know about the latest community policing topics facing our nation.
Hello and welcome. My name is Nizmia Comrie, and on behalf of the Cops Office, I'd like to introduce you to Deputy Chief Mike Bray of the Sacramento Police Department. Deputy Chief Mike Bray is here today to discuss constitutional policing. Deputy Chief Bray, the mission statement and organizational values of the Sacramento Police Department are very community-focused. How has your department created trust and collaboration between community residents and police officers?
I think by focusing on a couple of things, one being transparency and two being trust. We've taken advantage of social media by broadcasting our information, our goings-on of the police department, and we've done it wholeheartedly. We push out tons and tons of information to let the community, let our city know what we're doing. We push out not only crime information, but the things that we do wrong, and admitting fault and letting people know that sometimes we do stumble, but we're very forthcoming with information. And we also take advantage of good things that our officers, our employees do for the community, and constantly letting the community know that we are not just out to arrest and incarcerate. We're trying to get away from that model, so we're pushing out information constantly. We have over 20,000 Twitter followers, which is pretty good size for an agency of less than 700 police officers. So we have a solid following with Twitter. We have about 20,000 Facebook followers, and we've taken advantage of LinkedIn, Pinterest, Instagram, just about everything to get information out and be as transparent as possible. And not only on social media, but also when we have crimes or incidents going on in the city, we get out in front of the camera on a personal level and get information out quickly. People aren't sitting around wondering what happened and begging us for information and asking questions. So we try to take an offensive approach in getting out and letting people know information that's going on quickly. And so I think that's important. We've also connected with our neighborhoods in a dramatic fashion in the last year and a half. With the economic downturn in California, we were forced to lay off a lot of officers, a lot of employees. And part of that was our connection with our neighborhood watch. We had folks that run those, and that unfortunately was a program that was cut. Last year, we reconnected and trying to build back our neighborhood watch again to reach out to the community and let them know what we're doing. We connected with Nextdoor.com, which is quickly hooking up with lots of departments across the country. When we started last summer, we had 1,200 existing Nextdoor.com users in our city. We did a massive push throughout the entire city, and now we have over 23,000 households that are connected to Nextdoor.com, and that represents almost 90% of the neighborhoods within our city. And so again, it's pushing out information, connecting with neighborhoods on a personal level and on a social media level, and that's been very helpful for us. We've also established what we call our Cops and Clergy program to get to the trust part of the question, and that is reaching out to all the faith-based leaders, or as many faith-based leaders as we can in our city, and trying to establish trust, because unfortunately law enforcement, especially in communities of color, has been distrusted for decades. And so we recognize that, and we're trying to build that up. And this was done a couple of years ago, and we're continuing to push the program, and it's been very successful. We've connected with over 25 faith-based leaders within our city that all lead churches in communities of color. And again, being very transparent, this is who we are, this is what we do, and this is why we do the things that we do, and explaining our processes and things to these pastors and these church leaders. We also bring them into our organization, and they come out, and faith-based leaders ride with our officers every other Friday night, and they go out and they knock on doors and talk to people. And it represents a united front as to who we are, what we do, and the fact that we are connecting with communities of color through the faith-based leaders who are generally recognized as trusted figures in their community. And so it's been extremely helpful for us. We've also established, or we developed, a Cops and Clergy Academy. And so we did a 10-week program to bring in more faith-based leaders. And so we had 35 pastors complete our 10-week program, and they loved it. Again, they asked lots of hard questions, and we provided a lot of answers. But again, it opened eyes and opened the doors for both sides. And it's been very helpful for them to see what we do and for us to connect with the community and helping connect. And so it's been very beneficial for us, and it's also going to, we hope, to lead down the path for recruitment and being a recruitment tool that they can connect with their community to, again, explain what we do and why we do it, and the fact that police officers and law enforcement in general are not bad. We're not here just to arrest and incarcerate people.
Thank you. In what ways do you reinforce your officer training and education to be reflective of the values of the community you serve?
If I can back up to the first question, just one last thing. We've also established we're going to a geographic policing model. And historically, we have rotated officers or allowed officers to sign up annually to the areas that they work. So they can pick the part of town, the shift, the days off based on seniority. And it's been done for decades that they would rotate. And so what we've done is establish a geographic policing model to put officers, sergeants, and lieutenants in specific geographic areas for 2 years now. And the whole concept is to push down the decision-making to the supervisor, middle management level, and allow officers to connect and have a deeper connection with their community for a 2 year period of time. And the idea is that they will connect with the business community, their schools, neighborhood watch, youth groups, things of this nature to, again, forge stronger connections. So, again, the geographic policing model.
In what ways do you reinforce your officer training and education to be reflective of the values of the community you serve?
Our formalized training starts in our academy. With the economic downturn, we lost a lot of officers, and so now we're in a big hiring mode, and so a good portion of our department is new and young. And so they're coming through our academy, and we start our cultural diversity training, our cultural sensitivity training in our academy. And we also do what's called a cultural immersion project, which we copied from, I believe it was Austin, Texas. And we've been doing it 5 or 6 years now. Well, we get a group of academy students, all our academy recruits are divided up into groups, and they're tasked with going out in the community and finding diverse groups within the community, spending the day interviewing folks, exchanging ideas, learning about their culture, their faith, their culture, things that are important to them, and then coming back and doing projects and reporting back to our academy class. And it's been very successful in helping our folks gain a deeper understanding of our community. We also do cultural sensitivity and diversity training every couple of years with our patrol staff. While we do it now, we could always do better. We can always get more training, more exposure to different cultures within our city. We've also established our core principles and our core values we hold important, and that's professionalism and partnerships and prevention and intervention. And we've woven these principles into our academy training, our field training, our employee evaluations, and holding folks accountable and taking ownership of the protection of their communities that they're assigned to. Again, we're trying to move away from the arrest and incarcerate model over to valuing the importance of an absence of crime. And so we're not looking for statistics on citations and things like an arrest. We're looking for people who make meaningful connections to the community and providing prevention and intervention strategies. And we value and evaluate those things.
Great. What role does tolerance for different people, culture, or viewpoint play in constitutional policing?
It's huge. We need to value everybody in our community. We need to understand who they are, where they're coming from, what challenges that they face, and explain to them the way the Constitution is drafted, how we operate, how it's the formation, the bedrock of what we do as police officers, and make sure that they understand and take the time to establish some lines of communication and explain to people what we're doing and why we're doing it, and not just go for the parole, probation, take people to jail model. Again, getting away from that and taking the time to let people know that we need to follow the law to enforce the law.
Finally, in the wake of Ferguson, Missouri, how is policing being redefined?
As tragic as that incident is, there's going to be a lot of good coming out of it. It's highlighting some critical areas within law enforcement across the nation that are areas that we can do better. First and foremost, diversifying our organizations. It highlighted the fact that the incident in Ferguson, it illuminated the fact that most law enforcement agencies are not reflective of their community percentage-wise. We don't have enough African-American employees and officers, or Asians or Hispanics, and we need to do a better job of diversifying our organizations and recruiting people to mirror the communities that we serve, and that will go a long way of establishing trust. And so I know most all agencies have made a concerted effort for decades to try and diversify, but we need to do better. We need to be more creative and to reach these qualified candidates and bring them into our organizations. And I think that will help establish some trust. It'll help further trust within our communities. I think it also highlighted how transparent organizations are. And I touched on this earlier, that it's critical that we be transparent. We get out information as quickly as possible, because the longer we sit on details of incidents, especially high-profile incidents, it creates significant mistrust within our communities, and we need to get information out. Good, bad, or indifferent, it needs to be out, and we need to let people know what we did, why we did it, and as without jeopardizing the investigation, we need to get out the facts as quickly as we can to let people know what we're doing. Ferguson also highlighted the issues that they had with dealing with large groups of people, mass arrests, civil disobedience, and so I think there's going to be a re-examining of strategies and tactics and equipment and how we deal with groups of people who are committed to civil disobedience and demonstrating, and the fact that we need to allow people to be able to express their First Amendment rights and freedom of speech, and we need to be able to allow them to do that but still maintain order and civility within the communities that we police.
Well, thank you for your time and expertise today.
The Beat was brought to you by the United States Department of Justice Cops Office. The Cops Office helps to keep our nation's communities safe by giving grants to law enforcement agencies, developing community policing publications, developing partnerships, and solving problems.
The opinions contained herein are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official position or policies of the U.S. Department of Justice. References to specific agencies, companies, products, or services should not be considered an endorsement by the authors or the U.S. Department of Justice. Rather, the references are illustrations to supplement discussion of the issues.